The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Part 2, Chapter 19, Text 5, given by His Divine Grace, Dhanavir Das Banachari.
Rakshavadhaya, to kill the demon Ravana. Eva, certainly. No, not. Kevalam, only. Vibho, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kutaha, from where? Anyata, otherwise. Syat, there would be. Ramataha, of one enjoying. Sve, in himself. Atmanaha, the spiritual identity of the universe. Sita, of the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Kritani, appearing due to the separation. Yasanani, all the miseries. Ishvarasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation: it was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man, and for this reason Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life, or centered around one's wife, is the cause of many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When the Lord appears in this universe in the form of a human being, He has two purposes, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, to destroy the demons and protect the devotees. To protect the devotees, the Lord not only satisfies them by His personal presence, but also teaches them so that they will not fall down from devotional service. By His personal example, Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45. Yan maitunadi griham edi sukham hitucham kanduyanena korayor iva dukha dukham tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja kandutivan manusijam vishaheta tiraha. Kripanas, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge, and who are therefore just the opposite of Brahmanas, generally take to family life, which is a concession for sex. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. This is a warning to devotees, to teach this lesson to devotees and to human society in general. Lord Ramachandra, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, underwent a series of tribulations because he accepted a wife, Mother Sita. Lord Ramachandra underwent these austerities, of course, only to instruct us. However, he never has any reason to lament for anything. Actually, he never has any reason to lament for anything. Another aspect of the Lord's instructions is that one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. Human society is divided into two classes of men: those who strictly follow the regulative principles and those who are devotees. By His personal example, Lord Ramachandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the discipline of the religious system and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. Otherwise, he had no reason to undergo apparent tribulations. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide all facilities for the complete protection of his wife. There may be some suffering because of this, but one must nevertheless endure it. That is the duty of a faithful husband. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra demonstrated this duty. Lord Ramachandra could have produced hundreds and thousands of sitas from his pleasure energy. But just to show the duty of a faithful husband, he not only rescued Sita from the hands of Ravana, but also killed Ravana and all the members of his family. Another aspect of the teachings of Lord Ramachandra is that although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are mukta purushas, liberated persons, under all circumstances. It is therefore said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Jatadeki Vaishnavera Vyavahara Dukha Nishchaya Janihataha Pramananda Sukha. A Vaishnava is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss and separation, viraha. The emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Martyavataras tviha martya shikshanam vakshovadhayaiva nakevalam vibho kutonyata syat ramatak svaatmana sita kitani vyasanan in ishvarasya omanyana tamarandasya gyanam janam shalakaya chakshanam minutam jena tasmai shirubhema. This is describing the appearance of Lord Ramachandra in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains why he comes to the material world, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstarpanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge, in order to annihilate the miscreants and to give protection to the devotees. Someone might say, well, why is he making discrimination? He's not. Samoham sabhabhuteshu name dveshosti napriya vajanti nanyamanaso gyata bhuta dimabhyam. Although he's equal to everyone, he's not partial to anyone, still, one who engages in his devotional service, who completely surrenders to him, is very dear to him, and then Krishna takes special care of him. This is natural for a person, and God is a person. He gives everyone the equal opportunity to surrender to him. But then once they make their decision, if they decide to serve him, then he gives them special protection because they have no other shelter. Just like Draupadi, she was in a difficult position in the assembly. The assembly of uncultured men. And because of that, she was, first of all, approaching her husbands for help, and then the senior elderly members of the assembly for help. But no one could help her. So finally, after exhausting all other, then she cried out for Krishna and Govinda to please help her. And Krishna, although apparently not immediately there, still he's able to supply a help for his devotees, and he protected her. And anyone, anywhere, either in the material world or the spiritual world or anywhere, who calls upon Krishna will immediately get protection. Because the name of Krishna, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are not different. So in this age, especially, we are recommended to take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Kalikale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. In this age of Kali, quarrel and hypocrisy, the Lord has especially appeared in the form of His holy name. And that holy name, that incarnation, Namavatar, is so powerful that He can destroy all the demoniac tendencies of this age. And there are many. We see that in the time of Lord Ramachandra, there was one big demon, Ravana, and his associates. And Lord Ramachandra came and killed him and all his family members. Similarly, Kali, the personality of Kali is also a demon. His business is these pillars of sinful life: animal slaughter, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex life. These are pillars of sinful life. They're demoniac activities. One who likes to engage in these things is said to be possessed of a demoniac mentality. And that means he's become a devotee of Kali. He's become a follower of the personality of Kali. And the Lord has come to destroy that demoniac mentality. Not with His sword. That will be later on, at the end of the age, when those personalities who do not surrender to the Lord throughout the whole age, 427,000 more years, then they will meet the Lord in His form as Kalki Avatar. And He will take His sword, and riding on His horse, He will decapitate all the demons. But until then, they still have a chance to surrender peacefully to chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And just this holy name is so powerful that we see that it is defeating the demoniac principles or the demoniac tendencies everywhere. Unfortunately, materialists, they cannot appreciate this. They will give so many other explanations if something good happens. They'll never give credit to the holy name. But still, the devotees know. Just like the trend towards vegetarianism, well, they will credit it to so many other things. Or the trend towards chastity in some corners, or the trend towards breaking down the international barriers. But Srila Prabhupada would generally give credit to whatever there was that was favorable to the chanting of the holy names, to the Sankirtan movement. Because after all, this age of Kali is an ocean of faults, and it will just become more and more degraded. So if anything is uplifting, it must be due to the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he can counteract the pernicious effects of Kali Yuga. And this Sankirtan movement is so nice. Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Lord Ramachandra. He showed this to his devotee when he exhibited his Sadbuja feature, six-armed, and he had two
green arms also with bow and arrow.
So Lord Chaitanya is also Lord Ramachandra. He's also Krishna. But he's also Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu.
Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya.
Yes. Namne Gora Pishenama. He's the most munificent of all incarnations because he's giving what no other incarnation has given. What is that? Pure love of Krishna. Very easily. Lord Ramachandra set a very nice example as the ideal king in human society. He established religious principles. You may have wondered why in the purport Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are two types of human society is divided into two classes of men. Those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. You might think, well, what about everyone else? They must not be in the category of men. They must be below the standard. Because those who follow the regulative principles of the Varnashram, they are considered men. And of course the devotees of the Lord, they're actually above the principles of the Varnashram. They're not bound to follow those rules and regulations. Why is that? Does it mean that they don't care for them, or they disregard them, or they disrespect them? No, they respect them, but they have a higher purpose. They are not bound to perform the activities of social customs or spiritual orders. Why? Because they are engaged directly in the personal service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is their regulative principle. Well, that is the meaning here. But Lord Ramachandra set the example for both. Those who are involved in the social Varnashram system and they are taking up the Grihastha ashram, well, they must understand that they have a grave duty. It is a great responsibility. They cannot simply abandon it if there is some trouble. One should not give up a particular duty just because of being troublesome. This is called renunciation in the mode of passion. Or if one gives up the duty out of bewilderment, that is renunciation in the mode of ignorance. So if one enters the Grihastha ashram, he must be responsible for making sure that his wife goes back to Godhead. He has to lead her in that direction and take care of her also physically. And if one is very serious to go back to Godhead, then the instruction of Lord Ramachandra is best not to get involved in the family affairs. Better to avoid it if at all possible. Why? Because bahu dukha bhag, there are so many tribulations that ensue from one who unites with the woman. So many problems are there. Even for devotees, there are complications, and therefore the recommendation is, if at all possible, try to avoid. However, if one cannot avoid, then he should live a nice Grihastha ashram and engage in devotional service. And Lord Ramachandra set the example. He only took one wife. That is another purpose of his appearance. As a king, Kshatriyas are allowed to take many wives. And although Lord Ramachandra appeared almost a million years ago, he only accepted one wife. Even though Surpanak offered to become his wife, he rejected. He said, I have taken a vow, ekapatni vrata, to only accept one wife. And that is very good. So in this Krishna consciousness movement also, we are advised by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya, only to accept one wife.
And because the whole idea of the Varnashram system is to minimize this attachment for women and sex indulgence, etc. It should be minimized as much as possible, down to nil. Our example in this regard are the six Goswamis, who gradually reduced all the eating and the sleeping and the mating and defending practically to nothing. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was just prior to his departure from this mortal world, he was commenting in a kind of humorous way that he had lost all his appetite. He could no longer eat, and because of certain pains, he was not able to sleep either. And so he said, "Now I've stopped eating, and sleeping is very difficult now." And of course, mating has been abandoned long ago, and defense, there's nothing more to defend, so I guess I must be liberated. One who voluntarily accepts these kinds of austerities is a liberated soul. And Lord Chaitanya also came to show the same thing. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. That Lord Chaitanya taught us how to be renounced. He was the ideal example of a sannyasi. He would not associate with women. He would not joke with women. In fact, even his women disciples, they would pay obeisances from a distance. After he took sannyas, he had no association with his wife whatsoever. Therefore, we should appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead's coming in his different avatars, different incarnations, to protect us. Protection doesn't just mean to protect the body, but to protect the soul from falling down. When Krishna says that he will always protect his devotee, that means that one who is actually a sincere devotee will never fall down. Krishna will always give him protection. And that is our firm determination, that if I go on serving Krishna sincerely, then Krishna will protect me. I will not fall into Maya. Even though I'm here in this material world, even though we're living in these big cities, the devotees are going out on Sankirtan, and there are so many agents of Maya there trying to victimize the devotees. How is it possible that they're not falling down? They're raised in this culture, they're addicted to sinful acts for who knows how many lifetimes. Well, what is then the factor that's keeping the devotees from falling down? It is Krishna's causeless mercy. It is the mercy of the spiritual master. He is keeping us from Maya. He's protecting us. Even though Ajamil, he saw one Sudrani embracing a low-class man, and his mind was so disturbed that he fell down and became wholly corrupted. So Prabhupada comments that that was a long time ago. Now, seeing a woman embracing a man in a low-class way is very difficult to avoid. Everywhere you turn, these things are going on. In fact, they're making propaganda for them. But still, those who are sincere and they're sticking strictly to the chanting of 16 rounds a day and following the regulative principles, they will be protected. And they will be saved by Lord Ramachandra and saved by Lord Chaitanya. And the influence of Kali Yuga will be destroyed. Well, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Back to this point about devotees only apparently suffering from material tribulations, even though they had nothing to do with this people. There's a similar point being made in the second canto, where Bhishma Dev is lying in bed of arrows. And in the shloka it states that because he's seeing Lord Krishna, he's meditating on Krishna, therefore he's not feeling any pain in his bed of arrows.
Yes. Just like in the course of our devotional service, there may be so many things that happen which appear to the materialist to be painful. Just like to go to jail is considered to be one of the most objectionable things for a materialist, is it not? They abhor that the most. If someone is made to go to jail, it's a great insult and inconvenience, and they'll pay anything practically not to have to go to jail, a respectable man. But the devotees of the Lord, even if they're put in jail, they simply chant Hare Krishna. And they're quite peacefully and happily prosecuting Krishna consciousness. There was one devotee in Holland. And he had been a devotee for several years, but due to some prank of breaking windows before he was a devotee, they finally they apprehended him. And they said, now you have to go to jail for a month or two, something like that, because of this crime you committed. So he agreed, all right, I will go. And they put him in a place, and he was very happy and blissful. He was chanting, and he was organizing feasts and preaching, distributing books, and in fact, he had such a nice influence that the whole prison or the correction system, wherever he was, they were so happy that he was there, and so many people began chanting the holy names, and he came out in bliss. He wasn't disturbed at all. For an ordinary person, that would have been a horrible thing, have to stop work and be away from the family and be a humiliation. But the devotee was not disturbed. He took the difficult circumstance, or as they say, he took a lemon. I think Carnegie said this. Take a lemon and make it into lemonade and sell it and you benefit. So a devotee knows how to take something sour and difficult and turn it into a wonderful profit. Or Prabhupada gave the example that just like the stock market, an expert businessman, when the stock market is up, he sells. And when the stock market is down, he buys. Either way, he makes profit. He's never disturbed. He doesn't care whether the market goes up or down. He knows the art of how to deal with the market. Similarly, a devotee knows the art. If there's some apparent tribulation, he takes it as Krishna's mercy. Just like Queen Kunti, she prays, Vipadak Samtatak Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavatad Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Missed a few words there. But the point is that let those calamities happen again and again. Because when the calamities come, then you come, Krishna. You come to protect your devotees. So better bring on the calamities. And now she was saying that after the war is over, there's no more calamities. Now you're going away, you're leaving us. So better bring on the calamities so we get you. So a devotee never sees any calamities as something to be feared or hated. He accepts whatever comes as Krishna's mercy. So in that way, how can he ever be in anxiety or suffering? He's always got Krishna. One has Krishna. What is there for illusion or pain for him? Yes, the whole Bhagavad Gita. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains again and again, one who is equal in happiness and distress, pain or joy or victory or loss, fame or infamy, is not disturbed by the heat and cold, summer and winter seasons. He is actually situated in transcendental knowledge. So if we're not steady and stable in these different dualities, then we're not firmly fixed in transcendence yet. We have still to practice. Yeah, in one sense, yes. in one sense, if there is some apparent success for serving Krishna, then we, of course, the devotee is jubilant. On the other hand, the Lord's ways of doing things are sometimes a little mysterious. So we may become jubilant about something that appears to be successful, and then it turns out that it may not be successful. It may be another feature. You see, the point is not to become jubilant in a material sense. In other words, if we're trying to enjoy that, nothing is meant for our enjoyment. Everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So if we're thinking that the gain, someone gives $1 million, that's very nice for Krishna, that's wonderful, we'll use it in Krishna's service. And if we lose $1 million, then that's all right, and we'll go on serving Krishna. In other words, from our point of view, we don't try to enjoy those, but we try our best to get as much as possible for serving the Lord nicely. As we accept whatever is favorable for the discharge of devotional service. But we're not going to become so much distressed if something is lost that we give up our devotional service. Oh, we lost this, and we become so unhappy that I cannot chant Hare Krishna. No. As a devotee goes on serving the Lord under any circumstance, knowing that it is the Lord who is the supreme controller. Okay? So yes, in one sense, we're happy to see the successes, but we should be careful not to try to enjoy those successes. Because if we try to enjoy the successes, then we'll have to suffer in the losses too. Yeah, everything is meant to please the Lord. Even if the Lord arranges some so-called distress, and that is also to be taken as the Krishna's arrangement. It's like, what could be worse for the gopis than Krishna's leaving? Or what could be worse for Sita than to be kidnapped away from her husband? But she took it that this is an opportunity to serve the Lord in separation. Sometimes we may have the opportunity to serve the Lord in opulence, and sometimes we may have the opportunity to serve the Lord in poverty. But either way, it is our duty to jubilantly and happily serve the Lord in any circumstance. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.